You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Friday, September 18th, 2020. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. And today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. And for me, it's sitting on my couch. Maybe I've designated an area where I can walk around a little bit and pretend to coach the Jets from my home. I don't know how you watch, but Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. A little bit later on today's show, we are going to chat with Nick Mangold, the great Jets center, who partnered with Pepsi to make some videos for fans. But before we get to that, we are going to preview week two between the Jets and the 49ers this Sunday at MetLife Stadium, following the normal preview format where I offer a key player, a key matchup, and a key to victory on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. And on offense, my key player is going to be Breshad Perriman, because this is a player the Jets need to step up. And he did not have a good performance week one. It was against Tre'Davious White, who is a tremendous corner, one of the top corners in the NFL. But the Jets just need more from Perriman. He was not getting separation. There were a couple of plays to be made where he just lost when the ball was in the air. I know the Jets are not paying him a ton of money, but given everything that's happened to the Jets at the wide receiver position, with Denzel Mims now on injured reserve and Jamison Crowder missing practice on Thursday with a hamstring injury, which is not a good sign because Crowder was limited on Wednesday. And as much as we focus on what happens on a particular day, the trend might be more important. And Crowder seems to be trending in the wrong direction because he went from being limited on Wednesday to not practicing on Thursday, which means the Jets are depleted at the wide receiver position. And this was not a particularly strong wide receiver group to begin with. The Jets are going to need Breshad Perriman to step up in this game. And the 49ers have a secondary that's dealing with some injuries themselves. So there should be opportunities for Breshad Perriman to make an impact in this game. And the Jets need him to. The Jets need Breshad Perriman to give them more than he gave them last week. I know that with his contract, again, it was only a one-year deal. It was around $6 million. The Jets are not necessarily a team that needs Breshad Perriman to be a 1,000-yard receiver for them this year. That's not necessarily what they're asking from him, but they need more than they got last week. They need a replacement for Robbie Anderson. They need a guy who can make some big plays because this offense has been struggling to move the ball. It's going to be a challenge for this offense based on the way it's constructed to consistently put together 10-play drives. They need some guys to make some big plays, and Breshad Perriman's the guy I look to in this game. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to go with Bless Austin, the second-year corner out of Rutgers, who played pretty well week one. It's always a little bit tricky when you're talking about corner, because the guys who were playing on the other side of Austin, they were giving up completions nonstop in this game. Pierre Desir, who was eventually benched, and then Nate Hairston came in, and Josh Allen was having a lot of success going after those guys. When something like that happens, you always wonder a little bit, was it Bless Austin playing really well? Was it just that Allen saw no need to attack him because he was pretty much guaranteed a completion going to the other side of the field? The one thing I will say is that Bless Austin may have been the only Jets defender who came to tackle last Sunday. The Jets were missing tackles nonstop, and Austin was a consistent tackler. He was hitting guys hard. He was not missing tackles for the most part. I think he missed one or two, but he was one of the few Jets defenders who actually came and brought guys down. And you're not expecting that at the corner position. It's kind of interesting. I remember over the offseason, I was reviewing some of Bless Austin's film, and one thing became clear. He likes to tackle, and you can always tell it when a corner likes to tackle. In fact, one of my favorite things to do when watching the film is finding a corner who does not like to tackle, because it's kind of an art form figuring out a way as a corner to make it look like you're trying to tackle and then some artfully dive out of the way so that you don't actually need to make contact. Bless Austin likes to tackle. And if you look at this 49ers team, this is a 49ers offense that's built to run the ball. and they will try to get the ball outside at certain points. And your corners need to commit to tackling. Yes, Bless Austin's going to have to play coverage well, but this is the kind of week where perhaps his tackling can make an impact. Perhaps he can prevent big runs. This is a offense that forces all 11 guys to be involved in the run against to stop the run. Run support's going to matter this week from your corners, and I think Bless Austin's going to be important for the Jets for that reason. Now, my key matchup on the offensive side of the ball is Nick Bosa versus Adam Gase. Now, you might say that's an unusual matchup for me to pick, and you'd be right, but it's week two, and I have memories of what happened week two last year when Myles Garrett destroyed Kelvin Beachum, and the Jets never gave Beachum any help in that game. It was one of the most baffling things I've seen in some time in the NFL, how the Jets just let Kelvin Beachum out there on an island play after play against Myles Garrett, and Garrett wrecked the game against the Jets. And the Jets cannot let Nick Bosa do that again. That I put on Adam Gase last year, what happened in that game against the Cleveland Browns week two. And it was a little over a year ago at this point, but it was also week two. Jets cannot let that happen again. It just cannot happen again. And it's going to be a little bit different because the Niners like to move Bosa around, so I'm not sure he's going to be one-on-one against Mekhi Becton all the time. He may see some time against George Fant. Maybe he slides inside a little bit, but the Jets need to know where he is at all points, and they need to have a plan to make sure he is neutralized, to try and block him, to obstruct him. Whenever I watch New England play against a premium pass rusher, one thing's clear. The Patriots do not let an elite pass rusher beat them. That guy will see constant traffic. He'll see double teams. He'll see triple teams. Tight ends will chip them on the edge. They'll have help with running backs. Bill Belichick always makes it a point to not let players like this destroy the game. Adam Gase needs to do something similar heading into Sunday because he did not do that a year ago. And it's just stuck in my mind because that was also week two. Ahead here on our show, we will continue our preview of Jets 49ers week two. And then later we'll have Nick Mangold here on the Locked On Jets podcast. Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders, they call us by name, always giving back, making a difference, and going that extra mile to support us in our community. And right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses. And look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. Locked On Jets podcast here on this Friday. We are previewing Jets 49ers week two, MetLife Stadium. It's the Jets home opener on Sunday. And now for my key matchup on the defensive side of the ball for the Jets. And I'm going with the 49ers running backs against the Jets linebackers. It's difficult to name players because the 49ers rotate running backs in and out, and the Jets linebacker position, things are a little bit unclear there right now. Avery Williamson has been limited in practice this week. He missed last week's game. Blake Cashman started for the Jets last week, but he suffered an injury three plays into the game, so he's going to be missing some time. Last week, Harvey Longy and Neville Hewitt saw the majority of the playing time for the Jets at the linebacker position, so perhaps it will be them if Williamson is not ready to go. In any event, again, I'm focused on this 49ers run game. If the Jets shut down this 49ers run game, they have a shot. They will at least keep it close. But this is a tough unit. This is one of the best rushing attacks in the NFL. It's well schemed. They have guys who know how to execute. It's going to be a challenge, and the Jets did not tackle well last week, especially at the linebacker position, and a lot of those came on Josh Allen, so it was a little bit of a different situation. Jimmy Garoppolo is not the running threat as a quarterback that Josh Allen was. It's a different challenge this week, but the Jets need to tackle better. There's just no way around it. If the Jets tackled this week the way they did last week, it's going to be a long day, and the 49ers are going to win this game in a blowout. They just need to be better tacklers, and that also means staying disciplined. It also means not overrunning the play. It means filling your assignments. There's a lot on these linebackers in this game. They're going to have help because I think the Jets have a good defensive line. I think the defensive line in general against the run last week held its own for the most part. They just did not finish tackles, especially on Josh Allen. there's more pressure this week on the linebackers. So these guys need to play well. These 49ers running backs cannot break a ton of tackles this week, or it's going to be a long day for the Jets. Now, my key to victory, and I'm going to say the Jets need to do more with Chris Herndon. I looked it up on this website, Next Gen Stats, and they found that last week Chris Herndon's average target came about 6 yards down the field. That's not that far down the field, especially when you compare it with 2018 when his average target came 10 yards down the field. And that was kind of puzzling because think about what the Jets had at wide receiver last week. Not much. We talked about Breshad Perryman's struggles. Chris Hogan was starting for the Jets last week. That's not a great spot to be at in the wide receiver. And the Bills suffered injuries at linebacker, so you'd think they would want to test the seam. You'd think that you'd want to get an athletic tight end like Herndon down the field. Well, it did not happen for some reason. And I still cannot figure out why. This week, the wide receiver position, things look even more precarious because of Jamison Crowder's injury. And yes, Breshad Perryman needs to step up, but Perryman's not going to be able to do it all on his own. Le'Veon Bell's out, so you can't really focus as much on the running back position helping you in the passing game as you might other weeks, although the Jets have not really utilized Bell all that effectively in the passing game during his time with the team. So I look to Herndon. Jets need more out of Herndon. Jets need to do more with Herndon. And listen, Herndon has to take some of the criticism for what happened last week. I watched the first play over, and it kind of surprised me because I had a memory of Sam Darnold missing Herndon. Darnold actually made a nice play there. He evaded pressure, he was on the move, and he threw a catchable ball. I'm not going to say Herndon should have caught it, but it was catchable. There was a play to be made, and Herndon did not make it. And that kind of got the Jets off to a slow start. And I don't want to say that if he catches that ball, everything's different. But you wonder whether maybe it would have helped things a little bit. Maybe it would have helped calm the Jets down, making a big play on the first play of the season. I don't know. But Jets need more out of Herndon. And the Jets need to do more with Herndon. They need to figure out ways to create the matchups that they want, whether that's putting him into the slot, whether that's moving him out wide, using him down the field more to attack. These are just things the Jets need to do. They need more out of Herndon. They need to do more with Herndon. And on the defensive side of the ball, it's going to be about staying disciplined. And I know that maybe that's a cliche, but it's really important against this 49ers offense because you're going to see all of the eye candy. You're going to see motions. You're going to see players shift before the snap. 49ers do all that, and it puts a lot of pressure on the defense because before every snap, every defensive player has an assignment against the run. It's called a gap. And sometimes you get two gaps. And the gap is the area between two blockers. So the area between a center and a guard, or a guard and a tackle, or a tackle and a tight end, or between the tight end and the end of the and the edge all the way out to the sideline, or the tackle and all the way out to the sideline. And when you put a guy in motion, or when you shift a guy, it changes the gaps. It creates a new gap. It takes one away, which means the defense needs to react. The defense needs to move around. And frequently what happens with the 49ers is they get somebody to miss an assignment. There's bad communication, and a gap goes unfilled, and that leads to a big run. It's going to be important to communicate. It's going to be important to have everybody maintain their gaps in this game. The 49ers break a big run. I bet you anything, you're going to look back on it and you're going to see that something happened pre-snap. 49ers made some motion that created a new gap. Somebody did not fill it. The Jets did not communicate. That's what's going to happen if it's a big run. Jets cannot let that happen. Anyway, ahead here on our show, we're going to be chatting with Jets legend Nick Mangold. It's going to be a great talk about some of the work Nick's been doing with Pepsi to create videos for fans. We'll also talk a little bit about Nick's career. We'll talk about what he's up to these days, and we'll talk about Sunday's game between the Jets and the 49ers ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all of the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place where you can replay every game all season long. You'll learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and more. NFL Game Pass provides access to the entire NFL Films archive as well. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Locked On Jets podcast here on this Friday, and right now I think back a little bit to my freshman year of college, because that summer we were assigned a book to read as incoming freshmen, and the first week of school we had this big assembly where the author of the book came to speak about what he had written. And the university president got up and he started talking about how incredible it was to have this author and how he was sure we all loved the book. And then the author got up and he said, all right, I'm going to tell you what the book's about, because I know none of you actually read it. And that's what I feel like right now. I'm sure a lot of you just fast-forwarded through my preview to get to this. We're going to chat with Jets legend Nick Mangold. Nick, thanks so much for taking some time to chat. Could you talk a little bit about some of the work you're doing with Pepsi?
Yeah, we got the opportunity to do this awesome fan engagement with going live with Pepsi, and they're giving fans the opportunity to win prizes every week, and then obviously culminating in the end with the Super Bowl. So it's going to be an awesome sweepstakes, awesome for the fans, but it also gave me an opportunity to create a little bit of content, and I believe that first video is out now on the website, and you get a little taste of what we did, and it was a lot of fun, and we really ran with it.
And what made you want to get involved with this project?
Just from my history with Pepsi. I've been with Pepsi for a long time. I can't even estimate, but we've done a lot of fun stuff over the years, and so when this was presented, we all spitballed together and came up with something that I think is pretty funny.
And I'm sure Jets fans would love to see it. Where can they find this video?
Made for nyfootballwatching.com.
Now, could you tell us a little bit about what the fans meant to you during your playing days?
Yeah, they were fantastic. You know, I think I was very blessed by having Kevin Y come in front of me, who really helped establish the center position. And so fans were familiar with that position. And so coming in, as long as I didn't mess up, it was silver spoon, sort of say, but, they were great and they embraced me. I embraced the city, New York, and really, really enjoyed my 11 years and, my 3 years after.
And what are you up to these days when you're not making hilarious videos?
Barbecue sauce is my big one, other than my kids. Started my own line of barbecue sauce, unfortunately, in the middle of the pandemic. But it's been a lot of fun and neat process. And we're growing slowly, but it's been a fantastic opportunity.
And what's the name of your barbecue sauce brand, and where can your fans get it?
It's 74BBQ, and it's 74BBQ.com. You can get it online. You can get it at all your Costello Family Aces, which have Long Island, Staten Island, and New Jersey locations. And we're just keep trying to grow and grow and grow.
Do you still follow the Jets?
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of one of the big reasons why I wanted to retire as a Jet was, that's what I'm known about. So to have that connection, my oldest son is a huge Jets fan. We're intertwined, I think forever.
Do you have any thoughts on the current team?
Yeah. It was a rough start, for week one. But there's joy of the NFL is you now have another chance to go out and correct it. Hopefully they cleaned up the mistakes, 'cause they looked, pretty sloppy. And so it's going to be rough sledding, especially against this tough 49ers team. I'm hoping for good things.
The Jets obviously did not have a preseason this year. How much does preseason help you prepare as a player?
I think it's huge especially for younger guys, for younger guys and then new guys to a team. For young guys, you got to learn how to play in the NFL. You need to learn how to study. And then for guys that are new to a team, you got to learn the chemistry. You got to learn, where the locker room is, where things are, where you go, and, where food is. So there's a lot to learn, and they crammed it in with, I think, less of the preseason. I think the bigger hurt was the off season, not having the spring practices, the conditioning, and the mini camps. That's a lot of preparation that, the teams didn't have this year.
No, for a team like the Jets that brought in a lot of new players, do you think this lack of preparation maybe impacted them a little bit more than some other teams, and maybe that helped contribute to the poor result last Sunday?
Well, it sure didn't help. And so, you know, I think that's something that hopefully we'll see improve as the season goes. But, you know, it's tough when you're putting new pieces in and you don't have time. I mean, you can do all the virtual meetings in the world, but if you don't have time together on the field, you know, that makes a rough sled.
Now, I think there's something about the first week that gets fans extra fired up, because maybe it's the you have to wait all these months for the season, and then it finally arrives. And when you win, it's great. But when you lose, there's nothing like the panic, I think, that sets in with the fan base after that first loss. What's it like in the locker room after the season gets off to a disappointing start? Do guys stay calm after 1 week? What's the general atmosphere you found in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's staying calm. I think it's more for the fans. I mean, getting that week one win is huge for a team, for both the fans and the players. But for a loss, you know, the players have to deal with it for about – they get to deal with it for about a day, because then they got to focus on the 49ers and doing everything in their power not to do the same performance against them, where the fans, you know, don't get to prepare for the 49ers. And so they have to sit there all week thinking about, you know, oh, here we go again, or, you know, this is a lost season already, when really you're just 0-1. You could win the next 15 games and everyone would completely forget that you lost to Buffalo in week one. So, you know, it's I think the difference between the fan and the player.
And speaking, you know, we could talk about how fans overreact. I think it's also fair to say that the media can overreact at times, especially in New York. And
no, I haven't noticed.
I believe it or not, Nick, it's true. And
color me shocked.
Is it possible to really kind of tune out what the media says about you? I know a lot of guys say that they try to ignore what's written and said about them, but is it really possible when you're a player in the city?
It's possible. It's really difficult, but it is possible. I know, you know, a handful of guys that have done it, but I think the biggest thing is, you know, when you say block it out, it's more, you know, you're going to hear the criticism because it's everywhere and anywhere, blocking it out from affecting you. So, you know, you can hear that, hey, you know, you weren't up to snuff and we need to cut him immediately. But to know that, you know, you had a couple of mistakes that are easily correctable and you go back out there and work on your craft. Having that mental fortitude is definitely necessary in New York.
Do you have any prediction for Sunday's game against the 49ers?
I'm going to hope it's a close one. You know, the travel from West Coast to East Coast is always tricky. So I think that's going to help in our favor. But it's going to be a tight one. But I always predict the Jets to win no matter what. So I think they'll win by two.
That's our show for today. Thanks to Nick Mangold for stopping by, and thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoyed the show, subscribe to it on your favorite podcast source, and please leave it a good review. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the game, and we'll be back Monday to break down what happened between the Jets and the 49ers.